Is Chrysler turning a corner?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Yesterday, we told you General Motors posted its first quarterly profit in 3 years. Well, now Chrysler is paying back some of its loan to taxpayers. Marketplace's Elisa Roth joins us live. Hi, Elisa.
Good morning.
How much money is the government getting back from Chrysler?
Well, Chrysler paid the government $1.9 billion. But just to clarify, this is Chrysler Holding, the old Chrysler that paid the money back. This is not the new Chrysler, the one that's owned by Fiat, the one that's still making cars. Just to clear this all up, you remember that in January of 2009, when things got really bad in the auto industry, the government lent Chrysler $4 billion to try to keep it out of bankruptcy. That didn't work. The bankruptcy created the two Chryslers we've been talking about. This money that just got paid back is a repayment of that original loan.
Yeah, $1.9 billion out of the $4 billion. So when are we taxpayers going to get the rest of our money back?
Well, I hate to break it to you, but this is probably it. The loan actually went into default when Chrysler declared bankruptcy. So when the Treasury Department accepted the money yesterday, it said it was considering this a full payment.
Really? So taxpayers took a bath, it sounds like, bailing out Detroit. How much money are we talking exactly?
Overall, probably something on the order of $34 billion. That includes the bailout for Chrysler and GM. Exactly how much we lost depends probably on how much the government can get back when it sells its shares of GM and Chrysler once those companies go public again.
Right. Marketplace's Elisa Roth with that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Last week, it was oil executives going to Congress to explain that huge oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Well, today, the Interior Secretary and other federal officials will be telling Senate committees what the government did or didn't do to prevent that spill. Meanwhile, President Obama says he'll name a commission to investigate the cause of that oil rig explosion, a commission similar to the ones that examined the Challenger space shuttle disaster and the Three Mile Island nuclear power plant accident. And now let's do the numbers. Bit of a rebound today across the world. The Greek debt crisis has been beating up the euro, but the currency has come back somewhat. Yesterday, that helped the Dow erase a big loss. Came back at the end of the day yesterday to positive territory. Add that, this morning, a British research company raised its forecast for growth in both the U.S. and Japan, and stocks are solidly higher in Europe. Even the Shanghai market came back a little today after shrinking by 20% in the last month. You know, you don't see many beer and liquor ads on primetime TV because the big broadcast networks and the alcohol industry have rules to limit them. But a report out today says digital media have become a, quote, wild west for alcohol ads. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich has that.
When Smirnoff launched the drink Raw Tea, it hit the viral jackpot with a music video called Tea Party.
We're gonna turn it out with our parents' riches. We'll serve Smirnoff raw tea and finger sandwiches.
5 million YouTube hits. The problem, says the Center for Digital Democracy, is you don't know who's watching. The alcohol industry's voluntary rule says 70% of people who see your ad have to be legal. But on YouTube, Facebook, and cell phones,
so much of this activity is unmeasured.
David Jernigan runs the Center on Alcohol Marketing and Youth at Johns Hopkins. He says viral marketing campaigns, by definition, mean companies can't control if kids see their ads. And the games and contests in online alcohol ads
are designed to create an immersive experience, deep and rich engagement with the brand.
The report asks the Federal Trade Commission to investigate online alcohol spending and publish the results. The Distilled Spirits Council says it applies the same rigorous guidelines across all media. I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to present, demonstrate, and train online. More at GoToMeeting.com/market. And by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. American Public Media presents The Great Textbook War, an American Radio Works documentary supported by the Batten Institute at the University of Virginia's Darden School of Business. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
For the first time ever, the U.S. Census Bureau is counting same-sex couples who self-identify as married, even in states where gay marriage is illegal. From Austin, Texas, KUT's Nathan Bernier reports on what that information could mean for marketers.
On a quiet residential street in Austin, Kermit Johns runs a small investment advisory firm. He's been with his male partner for 36 years. And when Johns received his census form, he marked married, even though he lives in a state where gay marriage is banned.
I did that because I'm an honest guy. And I certainly don't have any secrets from the United States government. I'm a taxpayer like everybody else. So I answered honestly.
In this census, he'll be counted as married. That was not the case in 2000. When gay people checked the box for married on their census forms 10 years ago, it was changed by the Census Bureau to unwedded couple. Linda Golden is a marketing professor at the University of Texas. She says being able to count gay couples who self-identify as married will be gold for advertisers.
You can use it to find out, are there enough people to make it worth spending the money to market to this geographical area? That in itself is huge.
Well, I think it's interesting. If we look at it from 10 years ago to today, one thing I think you'll find is that there'll be many, many more same-sex partners in rural America and suburban America.
David Paisley is with Community Marketing, Inc., based in San Francisco. His firm targets gay consumers. He says for marketers like him, it's important not only to know where gay people live, but also the kinds of relationships they have with each other.
So, for example, if I was looking to sell, say, luxury cruises, I'd probably be targeting couples.
And the census information will tell marketers which communities have a larger percentage of gays and lesbians in long-term relationships. But marketers won't be able to get their hands on this information until next year when raw census data is released. In Austin, I'm Nathan Bernier for Marketplace.
And finally, sleep researchers are warning that reading on an iPad before bedtime may cause insomnia. Northwestern University's Center for Sleep says the light from electronic screens can trick your brain into thinking it's daytime. And apparently you're better off reading a book in bed. Of course, to do that, you'll have to turn on a reading lamp. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college accountant? How does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.